All right, the title of tonight is The Patience of God, and the big idea is the Lord's patience leads us to praise. The Lord's patience leads us to praise. One writer notes, Jesus Christ lived 33 years, shoulder to shoulder with sinners. No doubt, tempted. We know that Jesus was tempted, but what did he not do?
Sin.
But no doubt tempted constantly to sinful impatience and quick anger. Yet, the Bible records only two instances in which his anger manifested itself. Two in 33 years. At every turn, he encountered people transgressing his father's commands. To have expressed anger would have been justifiable, righteous. But even in expressing righteous anger, he was slow. He endured patiently with sinners. That's good news for us, amen? He's patient. If you're a believer, then not only have you benefited from God's patience, and not only do you continue to experience God's patience, but you have the Spirit to now imitate God's patience in your own life. Amen? So again, if you're a believer, you can say, God, I'm a believer because you are patient with me, right? And if you're a believer, you continue to experience God's patience toward you. And if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit who fills you to empower you to exercise God's patience toward others. All right, so per usual, let me take about 6-7 minutes. So on Sunday, I think at the end, I said, I'm going to take a minute and 37 seconds to wrap this one thing up. And a young child, I shouldn't say a child, she was my son's age. A young lady came to me and said, well, Pastor Chris, I timed you. You said a minute and 37 seconds, and it was 2 minutes and 13 seconds. And I said, that's pretty close, actually. I thought it'd be like 7 minutes. So I was encouraged by that. So I want to take just a few minutes. This will be a shorter review tonight to review what we talked about 2 weeks ago, right? We didn't meet last week. Who remembers for a free candy bar next time, seriously, what we talked about without looking at your notes 2 weeks ago?
God's attributes.
Yes, but we got to be more specific, brother. Which attribute? Which attribute? Not his mercy. Do you know, Felice? No. Yes. Holiness. Who said it? What? Hey, you know what I could do is I could get a Twix, and you both get one. So, all right. I'm serious. I love doing that. So, good. So, what did we learn about God's holiness 2 weeks ago? The Lord is holy, and that is consistently seen throughout the pages of Scripture. But what does His holiness do? And I started with that question 2 weeks ago, and we started with Isaiah 6, 1-5. And it's worth reading again, okay? So, listen to Isaiah 6, 1-5, and we're going to answer the question, what does God's holiness do? What does it do? All right, so Isaiah 6, 1-5, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, right, these angelic beings. Each had six wings, with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah said, what? Woe is me, for I am lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. All right, so three things I highlighted 2 weeks ago when we talked about holiness, right? What does God's holiness do? A, it demands, and this is not in your handout, right? But this is 2 weeks ago. It demands and initiates worship. How do the seraphim respond to God's holiness? They speak it back. They praise him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, right? B, it causes awe and wonder. Isaiah is in awe. He is literally awestruck by the holiness of God. And then C, what does God's holiness do? It reveals our sin and our need for a Savior. What does he say? Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm in trouble, right? God is holy. And when Isaiah saw that God is holy, he realized he's what? He's not. He's not fit to be in God's presence. He needs a Savior. What is the holiness of God? What does it mean when we say that God is holy? I really liked Wayne Grudem's definition. He says God's holiness means that he is two things here. One, he's separated from sin. Okay, so when we say God is holy, it means he's separate. Separate from what? From sin. And then two, he's devoted to seeking his own honor, his own glory. So God is holy. Number one, he's separate from sin. And then two, he's devoted to seeking his own honor or glory. Where does this attribute seen in Scripture? Where do we find it? It's everywhere. Revelation 4:8. Sammy James. So just put your... Sammy's not sick or anything. She just tonight didn't... I don't know. She kind of melted when it was time to go to class. And I tried to take her and she just couldn't bounce back. So she's going to hang with us tonight. So she's not sick or anything. She, I don't know, she just, she wanted to be a dad. Oh, I don't want to leave daddy. And I said, okay, come hang out. Revelation 4:8. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say. They never cease to say. I mean, think about that. This is what they do. It never stops. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. 1 Samuel 2:2. I love this one. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. And then one more. Leviticus 19:1-2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And I thought it was really interesting, right? If you're talking to a Jew and you ask them, what is the most significant event within Judaism? It's what? It's the Exodus, right? And how does God reveal himself to Moses? What is the first attribute that God reveals to Moses on Mount Horeb? Take off your sandals because you're standing on what? Holy. He's what? He's holy. Isn't that interesting? He's holy. All right, now we'll end with this. I have a minute and 37 seconds. That's my number. What are the implications of this attribute for, one, our understanding of God? And we ask that every time. Okay, so we understand the attribute. God is holy. He is separated from sin. He's committed to seeking his own glory or honor, right? How does that affect our understanding of God and our understanding of ourselves? All right, several things here. A, God is distinct from the rest of his creation. Remember 1 Samuel 2:2, there is none holy like the Lord. Okay, so God is distinct from the rest of creation. B, God is worthy of our praise. What do the angels do? They cry what? Holy, holy, holy. What about us? Well, when we realize that God is holy, C, this was again 2 weeks ago, our sin is a great offense against a holy God. Our sin. When you understand, when you grasp God's holiness, or maybe better stated, when you're grasped by God's holiness, you realize my sin is highly significant because of who I'm sinning against. A holy God. A God who is separated from what? Sin. And then D, because God is holy and we are what? We're not. We can do nothing to save ourselves. And then always we end with application. And so, what does this attribute, God's holiness, mean for us? A, God's holiness demands our worship. B, God's holiness necessitates the cross. C, God's holiness calls his people to holiness, right? We're to be holy as he is holy, which means we're to be separated from sin, and all that we do should be committed to seeking whose honor and glory? His honor and glory. And then D, God's holiness motivates our obedience. All right, that's it for the review. That was pretty quick. Now, God's patience. And that's number one. The Lord is patient. Man, I am... this one, I thought about this a lot. Because God's the creator, okay, we're accountable to him. He owns us, okay? We belong to him. He made us. He has the right to do with us whatever he wants because he made us, right? He's the creator with the creation. And he's a good God. He's a loving God. I mean, how does God reveal himself in Genesis 1, 2, and 3? He makes everything, it's good, and then the pinnacle of his creation, he makes image bearers, Adam and Eve. And he doesn't just say, okay, Adam and Eve, good luck, take care. No, he creates a place for them, and not only that, but it's full of good things for them to enjoy, and not only that, but he's there with them, right? He gives them a place, and he gives them his presence, and yet they turn from him. And they really turn against him. And you're thinking, that's it. I mean, oh my goodness, how could you do such a thing? We've done that. We've done the very same thing, right? The fact that God would save anybody, the fact that God would show his patience to any of us is a miracle. How can God be patient with us? I don't understand it. I'm in awe. What do we deserve? Wrath. Eternal separation. But we're going to see there's this correlation between God's patience and his salvation. God's patience in our turning to repentance. Isn't that amazing that he waits for us? He bears with us. All right. The Lord is patient. Arthur Pink, AP. AP writes, "The patience of God is manifested in his dealings with sinners." The patience of God is manifested in his dealing with who? With what? Sinners, right? He goes on to write, we could define the divine patience as that power of control. So he's talking about God's control, right? Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Who exercises perfect control? God. So we could define the divine patience as that power of control which God exercises over himself, causing him to bear with the wicked and forbear so long in punishing them. Now, there's a common expression in the Old Testament that is used to convey God's patience. What is it? He's slow to anger. He's slow to anger. Now, the Hebrew literally means he's long of nose. Now, that's a strange expression, but you think about a bull. A bull that's fired up. What's he doing? Maybe it doesn't sound like that, Leah. I don't know. We have cows around our property, and I guess I've never ridden a bull. I almost did in college, but it kind of fell through. You could pay like $30 and ride a bull. I was like, oh, I would love to do that. And I don't know, it didn't work out. But an angry bull, they're snorting, they're snarling. A short nose means quick to anger. A long nose, it takes longer, you know, and so a long nose means slow to anger. And I think a modern expression would be, that brother has a short what? Fuse. Versus someone who has a long fuse, right? A long fuse, if they have a long fuse, they're slow to anger. They don't get angry quickly. If someone has a short fuse, what are we saying about them? They get, I mean, it's like 0 to 100 in a couple of seconds. You're like, what just happened? They're quick to anger, not slow to anger. God's patience, okay, that's what we're talking about tonight. God's patience is closely related to his what? Mercy and grace. They're always mentioned together. God's patience is closely related to his mercy and grace. And I want to read Exodus 34, 6. And the context is so important because what had just happened in chapter 32? The golden calf incident, right? God's people deserve God's forever punishment. But what does God show them? What is he with them? He's patient. Listen. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious. Here it is, slow to anger. He's merciful, he's gracious, and he's what? He's slow to anger. Our sin rightly deserves God's punishment. His what? His justice. What is justice? It's getting what we deserve. But in Christ, meaning the moment we trust in Christ, we don't get what we deserve. What's that called? When we don't get what we deserve. That's mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace, on the other hand, is getting what we do not deserve. Okay, so think of God's patience. God's patience is his grace that he bestows on undeserving sinners. Because of sin, we deserve his wrath. We deserve to be destroyed, and yet the Lord is patient with sinners. Why? That's the question. Why? Why is he patient with us? Why? Well, Romans 2:4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to what? Repentance. Okay, so God's kindness here, which is kind of a catch-all for his patience and his forbearance, it leads sinners to what? Repentance. So I think what Paul is saying is his patience is meant to captivate us and draw our attention to God's amazing grace. He's patient with us. Are you captivated by that? Are you in awe of that, that he's patient with us, undeserving sinners? This is further seen in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is what? Patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Here again, God's patience is tied to his salvation. His patience is his gracious opportunity for lost sinners to repent and turn to the Lord. Now, as Christians, and I think this is right, I think Paul did this. As Christians, we should look back in horror at our past sins. We don't rest in those things. We don't still, you know, look as if we're underneath those things. Christ took our sin, amen? But I think we should look back and be in horror of our past sins, specifically our pre-Christian worldview. Our pre-Christian worldview that rejected Christ as King. We were glory stealers, weren't we? All of us. That should horrify us. Because you realize, I've been shown patience. But that's what I was. Did I deserve God's patience? No, I deserved his wrath, his punishment. But at the same time, we should be in awe that God would patiently bear with us until saving us. It's amazing that he would bear with us until saving us. Have you ever watched it? And I'm going to say, I've had the privilege of this. I've had the privilege of watching a parent take care of a child with special needs. Has anyone seen that consistently? Have you witnessed that? A parent taking care of a child with special needs? Their patience is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. If they're a good parent. I'm talking about good parents, godly parents that I know. One that I worked with for years, 10 years. And I did her daughter's funeral, and I've mentioned her on a Sunday. But watching Darcy's patience as she cared for her daughter was unbelievable, right? And if you've seen children with special needs, there's delays. They take longer to do normal, everyday activities. And it's a beautiful thing to watch that parent just patiently wait. Come on, baby, you can take that first step. Come on. You can say it. I know you can say it. They're not getting frustrated. They're not getting angry. They're being what? They're being patient. Now, think about the Lord's patience. The Lord's patience is infinitely greater. It is infinitely greater. It is perfect. Now, Darcy had patience, but it wasn't a perfect patience. Who has perfect patience toward us? The Lord. And it's meant to arrest our hearts. And not only, this is the good news, not only does his patience apply to our depravity, but it continues on in the life of the believer. Amen? It's not a one and done thing. Here's my patience. You got it at salvation. Now I'm taking it away. Now you better get it right every time, because if you don't, here comes the wrath. That's not God's character. Praise God that he continues to give us what? Patience. Patience. The Lord will never say, I mean, you know, parents will say, hey, I'm running out of patience. God will never say that. Amen? To his children. He'll never say that to his children. You get my patience once, now it's up to you. No, his patience continues on after conversion, well into our sanctification. One writer notes, he is patient to bear with us as we progress along the path of sanctification, forgiving our sins again and again and again. Why does he do that? Why does he continue to bear with us? Hey, are you saved? If you're a believer, amen. Are you a believer? Amen. Do you still sin, believer? Yes. Does he still show us patience and continue to forgive us? Yes. Yes. Well, here I want to end this section by giving you a definition. And I left it in your handout. Here's the definition for the Lord's patience. God's patience is an expression of his grace and mercy, whereby he bears with sinners until they repent, okay? God's patience is an expression of his grace and mercy, whereby he bears with sinners until they repent and continues to wait. He continues to wait on his people as they are slowly made more like his son. The Lord bears and the Lord waits. He's patient beyond compare. All right, what's next? Well, where do we see this attribute revealed in Scripture? Again, where don't we? Numbers 14, 18. The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is, again, this was Clark's. I think Donnie Webb told me last week or 2 weeks ago, he actually found Clark and said, Clark, Psalm 103, 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. If you want to hear my son, that was the first verse Clark learned. He's in his little baby bed, and he would just say it like with such a shrill little voice. And that voice is gone. He's like, Daddy, the Lord is merciful and gracious. And so Donnie Webb walked up to him 2 weeks ago and said it just like that to him. And he said, Clark was like, what? And then he started laughing because he realized, oh, I see what you're doing. All right, Psalm 103:8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He's what? He's slow to anger. Jonah 4:2, and he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you're a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Romans 15, verse 5, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. Two more. 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul says, I received mercy for this reason. Listen to this. This is really good. Paul says, I received mercy for this reason. You're thinking, what reason, Paul? That in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect what? Patience. As an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. And then Galatians 5:22, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Patience. Yeah.
Can I go play in the playground?
No, we gotta stay here, baby. Okay? You can go to your class. You wanna stay here? We're almost done, okay, baby? Hey, I love you.
Can I play in the playground?
Just for a little bit.
Yay.
Yay. All right. All right, sweet girl. I bet they're missing you right now. You wanna go see them?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. All right. Well, hey, let daddy finish, okay, baby? All right. What are the implications? Daddy's got to be patient. What are the implications of this attribute for our understanding of God and ourselves? Now, I spent more time on this than I normally do because I kept coming up with more implications for us, what God's patience means for us. I have a lot. But let's start with God. First, God is merciful and he's gracious, right? Think about this. This is really interesting. The glory of God's patience is heightened when understood along his omniscience. What does that mean, that God's omniscient? He knows everything that was and is to come. Okay, God knows everything. So the glory of God's patience is heightened when understood along his omniscience. You see, God knows everything we do and every single thing we will do. And still he's what toward us? He's patient toward us. He knows about our sin today. He knows about our sin tomorrow. And what is he still toward us? He's still patient. He continues to bear with us. What grace? What grace? B, God is loving. And if you're familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 and verse 7, love is patient. It's patient. Verse 7, love bears all things. Our Heavenly Father lovingly bears with his children as they grow and mature in the faith. Now listen, I spent some time talking with a guy today about sanctification. What is sanctification? It's a process whereby the believer becomes more like Christ over time. Amen? And God gives us the Holy Spirit for that. Now, Sammy Jane is, what, how old are you, Sammy Jane? You're 4 years old, and you'll be five when? Good job, August 19th. Now, do I expect Sammy to have a job right now? Do I expect her to make her own meals right now? No. I'm what? I'm patient with her. She's growing. She's maturing. I don't expect those things of her, right? I don't expect her to do a lot of things on her own. I mean, you know, when I leave tonight, you better know. I'm going to make sure she's with me. I don't expect her to get home by herself. Daddy, I'm going to take you home tonight. And then when we get home, what am I going to do? What are we going to eat tonight? Your favorite. No. Y'all did not hear that. Not McDonald's. No, we're going to have chicken and macaroni and cheese tonight. That's, yeah. So, macaroni and cheese. The point is this. We're growing in the faith. We're maturing as believers. And the Lord is what with us? He's patient, like a father with his children. Amen? He's such a patient father. So God is loving. This next one is really cool. God is expectant. What does that mean? Okay, so think about an expecting couple. Think about a young married couple, and they're about to have their first child, right? They know, I shouldn't even say they, the wife knows, because we don't know anything, guys. The wife knows that her pain and discomfort is going to lead toward a glorious outcome. At least she's hoping, right? She's hoping. And she, I mean, again, once you have that baby, I was so surprised, and I guess I wasn't, but I think I told you, Haley's pregnancies were horrible. It was multiple ER visits because she, with Clark, she threw up for 38 weeks every day. There was not a day she didn't throw up, and that's not hyperbole. We had to go to the ER to get fluids several times, okay? And I thought, man, I want a lot of kids. I mean, there's no way she's going to want to do this again. But guess what she wanted to do again? She wanted to have more kids. Why? Because, again, the glorious outcome. Amen? The glorious outcome. So here's a quote. God is expectant, okay? God's patience implies expectancy. He's waiting for resolution. The objects of his forbearance, who's that? That's us, will not remain a source of frustration forever. Again, I think about Haley. She was not yelling at Clark, stop it! Why? You know, there was none of that, okay? She waited patiently. Patiently, God is working in us to will and to do for his good pleasure. Because one day, when we see the King face to face, what's going to happen? We're going to be just like him. Amen? But until then, what is he with us? Guys, we mess up. I mess up all the time. I'll be the first to admit it. But thankfully, God is what? He's patient. He's expectant. He knows that one day, our salvation is going to be what? Perfected. Amen? But until then, he's patient. Okay, now what about us? Now here's what I'm going to spend one more time. What about us? D. What are we? We are impatient. Okay, so I've used this illustration many different ways, but imagine I'm really bad about getting rid of clothes. It's not that I'm sentimental. I just don't like spending money. And I will wear the same shirt until it literally falls off. Like I'm just, Haley, she's so sweet. She's like, babe, like listen, that shirt, there's holes. And I'm like, I know, but I've had it for like 7 years, literally. So this is what happens. If I have a white dress shirt, I think it still looks good until I buy a brand new one. And I take it out of the bag, and it's a brand new white dress shirt. And I hold it up beside my old dingy dress shirt. There's discoloration. There's stains. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I used to wear this? She's like, yeah, I was trying to tell you, babe. This thing is horrific. That's what happens when we are placed beside Christ. What do we notice? He's perfectly patient, and what are we? We're absolutely impatient. We are. Lord, help us. The good news, he has. He has. Now, if we're honest, which I hope we can be, we'll admit that we don't like to wait. And I think it's even harder in our culture. If you've lived anywhere else but the U.S., people are just used to waiting. I think I told you guys, when I lived in Africa, this was amazing. I would see these little kids, Sammy's age, and they're walking to the river every day with these buckets on their head. And they're walking sometimes a mile, 2 miles. All the kids in the family, and they're dipping the bucket into the river, and they're putting it back on their head, and they're walking back home. And with that water, they're going to clean, they're going to cook, they're going to wash. And they did that. And again, all we have to do is what? And the water's right there. So the point I'm thinking is our fast food culture is only catered to our sinful impatience. We are very impatient. E, we are more concerned about our kingdom than whose kingdom? God's kingdom, okay? When things don't happen the way we want them to happen, or when we want them to happen, what do? Be honest, we blow up. We blow up. Why? I've seen it in my own life. Why do we get so angry so quickly when things don't happen our way, when we want them to happen? Why do we get mad so quickly? Because we care more about our kingdom than His kingdom, than God's kingdom. We want control. F, we are more concerned about our glory than whose glory? Than God's glory. Impatience leads to ungodly words, actions, and attitudes. Think about an impatient driver. I've seen this, man. I'm like, oh my goodness, this guy behind me. I'm not a fast driver. I'm not a slow driver. I'm kind of like right there, right? I'm not bragging on myself. There's other things I do that I probably shouldn't do, but like I'm not a fast driver. But I've seen people, like if you're going 5 miles under, the person behind you is beating on their steering wheel, yelling. You're like, what is going on? Why are they acting like that? I guess they got somewhere to go, right? They're being what? They're being impatient, okay? Imagine a father, an impatient father. He yells at his kids as he's waiting for the phone to ring. He's hoping to hear news about the new position at work that he put his hat in for. Right? He's like, guys, be quiet. I'm waiting. Why does he act that way towards his children? Because he cares more about his glory than whose glory? God's glory. In those moments, right, and Christians do these things, we are not imitating our patient Savior. Instead, we are focused on our comforts, our needs, and our goals, and not the Lord's. Lord, help us. G, we don't trust God the way we should. We don't. Our failure to wait on the Lord is a trust problem. It's a faith problem. Let me explain. We don't trust God the way we should. Do we all the time perfectly? Of course we don't. When things don't happen the way we think they should happen, or when we think they should happen, we are failing to trust in whose timing? The Lord's timing. His plan. And then lastly, guys, we're unwise. We are. A lack of patience is what? It's a lack of wisdom. A lack of patience reveals a lack of wisdom. Listen to the following passages from the book of Proverbs, and I got three here. Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts what? Folly. Man, I don't want to exalt folly. But if you're impatient, that's what you're doing. You're exalting folly. You're a fool. I love Proverbs. Like, oh, Solomon. Felt that. Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. And then Proverbs 16:32. These are good ones to memorize, by the way. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. All right, so again, being quick to anger, we call that impatience, is the mark of a what? If you're impatient, you're being a what? You're being a fool. A wise man is slow to anger, patient. All right, let's deal with some applications. Let's get our application on. Three things here that I want to focus on. Actually, four. There's a fourth one, but I'm going to go quickly. The fourth one's going to lead into a prayer. A, we are called to be patient with the Lord. You're thinking, what does that mean? Patient with the Lord? Yes. Wait on the Lord. We are called to wait on the Lord. We were made in the image of God to imitate whose character? God's character. But because of sin, what do? We go our own way, right? And yet, the Lord saves us, and He fills us with the Holy Spirit so that we can imitate His character for His glory. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is what? I've talked about this a lot, right? The fruit of the Spirit are the marks of Christ, who was perfectly loving, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Who does that describe perfectly? Jesus. That's Christ. Christ is showing us what God is like. We were made to image God, right? To bear His image. We don't do that because of sin. God miraculously saves us, puts His Spirit inside of us, so that now we can look like who? The Lord. And we look like the Lord when we're what? Patient. Amen? But first and foremost, we're called to be patient with the Lord, meaning we're called to wait on him. We're called to wait on him. Now, how do we grow here? Now, don't lie, and don't raise your hand either, but be honest. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've been praying diligently about something, something God-honoring, something biblical? Father, save my dad. Save my children. Years go by. God, where are you? Why haven't you done this? What are you being? You're being impatient. You're not waiting on the Lord. You're not trusting him. So how do we grow here? How do we grow in our patience toward God? By recounting the promises of God in the Word of God. Okay? Do you want to grow in your patience with the Lord? Do you want to wait on him well? Then know his promises in his Word and remember them. Okay? The Word of God shows us again and again that he can be what? He can be trusted. He can be trusted. He's good and he does good. He makes promises, and guess what? He keeps those promises. Therefore, we have every reason to wait on him. Amen? I mean, I think about that. God, you're good and you do good. You make promises and you keep promises. So do you want to grow in your patience toward God? Learn his promises. Memorize them. Hide them in your heart. Amen? Okay. B. Oh, this is one you're like, oh, come on, Taylor. We're called to be patient with others. All right. As a pastor, over the past 20 years, I've counseled a lot of men. In 20 years, a lot of men who have had serious sin struggles. And I'm often tempted to grow impatient with these brothers. But I shouldn't. Why? Why shouldn't I? Why? Because the Lord has been extremely patient with me in my own sin struggles. Amen? Listen, I think about Jesus. I love Jesus. Man, I do. I love him. He's my King. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And I think about Jesus, and I think about patience. I think about those disciples who dropped the ball multiple times, who failed, who lacked understanding, who in Jesus' hour of need abandoned him, right? They fell asleep on the job. And yet, what was the Lord with them? What did he continue to be with them? Patient. Isn't that amazing? I mean, if you've studied the Gospels, I mean, the disciples, they don't place themselves in a positive light, do they? They're hard-hearted. They're bumbling fools. And yet, the Lord continues to be patient with them. His patience doesn't run out. And then C. This is a tough one. This is a tough one, okay? I'll be honest. This is really hard. We're to be patient in all circumstances. It's easier said than done. One of my kids, it's not Sammy Jane. It's not. I tell you, baby, I wouldn't call you out. I love you. You're so pretty. One of my kiddos really struggles with anger. Really does. He's got a short fuse. He is not long of nose. He is very short of nose. His is a patient problem. It's Luke. Love Luke, man. I love Luke. But he has a short fuse. He lacks patience. And I've defined over the years patience for Luke. I said, Luke, and you can ask him if you see him. Patience is waiting with a happy heart. Okay? It's waiting with a happy heart. But Luke doesn't like to wait on things. And if things don't go right, like if he's working on a Lego set and he misses a step, or if it falls apart, he goes from 0 to 100 so quickly. Now, not always, but more than he should. He's a little sinner. And I'm a big sinner. But he is a little sinner. And I pray for his salvation. And I was so encouraged. So I'll tell you this, because I got 7 minutes. Clark has started a Bible study at lunch. And I'm so encouraged by that. He's leading it himself. He's invited all the kids in his class. 4 kids are coming. Like last Thursday, he does it on Thursdays during lunch. He said, okay, guys, I want to give you 2 challenges. What is something you can do this week to grow in your relationship with God? He did this. And then number 2, I want us all to read 30 minutes the Bible this weekend. That's like 10 minutes a day. We can do it, guys. He's telling me this. So little Luke says, you know what? I'm going to start a Bible study. I almost cried. So a guy came to our house for lunch yesterday. I went home and had lunch with Caleb Hay, came by the house. And Haley brought the kids home from Lead. And Luke's kind of distraught. I'm like, what's wrong? But he goes, I tried to start a Bible study at school, and I invited all the kids in my class, and nobody came. So I'm taking him lunch tomorrow, and I said, we're having Bible study on Thursday, dude. And but poor baby. I mean, he's trying to be like his brother, but nobody came. So pray for Luke. And you know what Clark did? Clark took him aside and prayed for him. And I thought, that's cool, man. So they do get along every once in a while. All right, I'm almost done, so just bear with me. Be patient. What allows us to be patient in circumstances? Now, this is what's hard. Our circumstances are not static. They're always changing, right? Our circumstances always change, which tempts us toward impatience. We exercise patience through prayer. That's the key. I'm serious. If you want to learn to exercise patience in ever-changing circumstances, pray. Let's read Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then what does he promise? The peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Okay, so when things that would tempt us to become anxious and impatient arise, and they will, right? Things will happen in our life that will tempt us to be anxious, to be impatient. When that happens, how does God's word instruct us here? We are to what? We are to pray. We are taught to pray. We are to depend on the Lord. Prayerlessness is not depending on God. Prayerfulness is depending on God. It's saying, God, I need you. I need your help here. We're to focus our attention on him and not our circumstances. Okay, so again, I've already shared the story, and I didn't throw Luke under the bus. I never do that. But he does have a little bit of an anger problem. He's not very patient. But this is a cool story about Luke. So Luke, this happened Tuesday as well. We're doing a little walk, and we always walk in the evening as a family. And we're walking down the road, and he goes, hey, I want to tell you something. I said, hey, buddy. He goes, so at school, I was taking a test, and I couldn't figure it out. And I was like, oh, boy. Like, I know where this is headed. He headbutted his desk, right? He jumped out the window. No, he didn't do anything like that. He said, Dad, I prayed, and I asked God to help me. And I said, dude, that's praise God, buddy. That's right. So instead of getting angry, what did you do? He goes, I prayed. I talked to God. And he goes, and it helped. I was like, yeah, man, like, that's what you should do when you're tempted to get angry. What should you do? You should pray and talk to the Lord. And he did. And I was like, man, good job, bud. Praise God. Not only, and this is the last thing I want to talk about, not only was Jesus patient with his disciples, but he patiently endured the cross. He was patient in suffering. That's really hard to do, okay? He was patient in suffering, trusting in his heavenly Father. I think perhaps nothing will test our patience more than seasons of suffering. Listen to 1 Peter 2, 21 to 23. For to this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued what? Entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Here's the question. What enabled Jesus to be patient in his suffering? Think about that. What? It was his joy in the Father. His joy in doing the Father's will. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Oh, this is so good, right? How can we exercise patience in suffering? What is the remedy? Joy. Joy. Listen to Hebrews 12, 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the what? He endured the cross. How? The joy that was set before him. So let's go back to Philippians 4. What did we learn about Philippians 4? How do we fight against impatience when life happens? We are to what? We're to pray. Well, listen, just before Paul calls believers to pray in difficult circumstances, he calls them to do what? Rejoice. So listen to Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. So one of the best ways, get this, one of the best ways to fight against impatience is joy, namely rejoicing in the Lord's goodness and his gifts. rejoicing in your relationship with the Lord. Listen, life can be hard. It can be frustrating. How do we fight against impatience? We rejoice in the Lord, in who He is, in what He's done, in our relationship with Him. Amen? Does that make sense? So how can we fight against impatience? Prayer and rejoicing, joy. All right, last thing, I'm going to pray. D, His patience invites our thanksgiving and praise. Sammy, you have done so well. I love you. His patience invites our thanksgiving and praise. If you're a believer, then you are a recipient of God's what? Patience. Are you thankful? I want to ask that question. Are you thankful? Because if you're a believer, guess what? You are a recipient of God's patience. And guess what you still continue to get? God's what? His patience. So I want to take a moment to pray a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord for His patience toward us. Let's pray. Father, there are so many things that we can say about You. You're good. You're faithful. You're kind. You're wise. You're holy. You're all-powerful. You're all-knowing. You're all-present. You're patient. You're patient with us, Father. We know that because of the cross. We know that because of Your promises. I think of Philippians 1:6, that the work that You began in us, You're going to bring to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You're patient with us. You know the end goal, and You're going to make sure that we get there because You're patient with us. And even though, God, You've saved us who have trusted in Your Son, we still mess up. We still fall short, and yet You continue to bear with us. Father, I pray that we would be changed in awe, that we would marvel tonight at Your patience. And Father, I pray that as believers with the Spirit, that we would desire to imitate that patience in our own lives. Help us be patient toward others. Help us be patient in all circumstances, in our suffering, to reflect You well, Lord, for Your glory. And Father, I pray for the lost in our lives, friends and family. God, please be patient with them and move them to repent and believe in Christ. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.